can hear me. That's awesome. How about our Vine production team? Aren't they incredible? Come on, you gotta have, they make everything. Our Vine worship team, all of our Vine creative just make everything awesome. And I'm so thankful you're here. Hey, I'm gonna do this and you're gonna hear it, but it's okay. I'm gonna take a drink real quick, okay? Here we go. It's Powerade. Don't worry about it. But I had to do that so that way my voice held out. Because I don't know about you, how many of us are in the sniffles season? I know some of us are in that. It's that time, right? Weather's changing. It's just that time. So I know we're missing some folks today. Because of that, I want you to know that we love you, and we can't wait to see you next week. Hopefully, we got little kiddos that, you know, our Vine kids don't always, this time of year, they don't feel well. So we're going to be praying for them that they feel well, and praying for the parents as they go through that. So I'm so excited to say thank you for hanging out with us. If I haven't had a chance to introduce myself to you, I'm Tyler West. I get to be the founder and lead pastor here at the Vine Church. And it's a privilege to get to spend time with you. I know I say it all the time, but seriously, it's such an honor, and it's one we don't take lightly, that Jesus lets us be here. So since we get to be here, I said it a second ago, so let's do it, okay? As we start, let's give some physically distanced high fives, some fist bumps, whatever that looks like, the people around you, wherever you're watching online, we're trying to make sure we're doing it right, as germ-free as possible, right? We're going to be doing that as we continue in our series called Supernatural. Hey, if you're watching online right now, tell us where you're watching from. We have folks who watch from around the world, and you may find that someone in your city is watching with you. So we say it all the time at the Vine Church. You're a guest only one time. After that, we consider you family. Welcome to the crazy family. Your founder and lead pastor has occupied the crazy position. I'm crazy cousin Eddie. If you will, you will. If you like Christmas Vacation, that's just how I roll. So don't worry about that. You will fit in because all are welcome. And so family gets to know each other. So I've only got one question for us because it's the first week of fall, but it could have multiple answers. Okay. So the question I would love for you to let your neighbor know, let us know online, is this. What's your favorite fall snack, treat, or drink? Favorite fall snack, treat, or drink? If you drop PSL pumpkin spice latte, I'm going to laugh. But if that is, it is. I know everybody gets excited about that. What's your favorite fall treat, autumn treat? What does it look like? Maybe it's candy corn. I guess people eat those still, right? That was one of those that was always given. What was your favorite fall treat? I'll be honest with you, mine's just plain coffee, as always. I'm a plain coffee drinker, but if I could eat it right now, a pack of them wouldn't last in front of me. I can't really mess with them right now, but if you put some Reese's pumpkins in front of me, they would be gone in a heartbeat, right? Isn't that fall? Isn't that how it is? What is it about this time of year they pack the peanut butter so much better in those things than they do the rest of the year, right? So that's my favorite fall snack. Maybe you got to learn from everyone else what their favorite one is, but I'm thankful for that, to learn from each other. So today we're going to be wrapping up our series called Supernatural. And if you've got your Bible, I want you to get to two places. If you've got your Bible today, we're going to be hanging out in Acts 1 and really a little bit Acts 1 and 2, but we're going to be in Acts and the Gospel of John. So those are kind of side by side. If you kind of want to mark those places is where we're going to be. If you don't have a Bible, hey, we would love to give you one free for the asking. Wherever you're watching around the world, our Vine production team, if you're watching with us right now, be awesome and make sure that everything is on the screen in front of you all the way through. And also, I just want to let you know, we have the privilege to partner with the Bible app every week. And I want to show you how you can follow along with us each and every week on the Bible app. And it looks like this. You want to download the Bible app from your favorite app store. And once you do that, you want to click it to open it up. Now, once you open it up, you want to click on the More tab. When you do that, you're going to see Events tab. Make sure your location services are on. And when you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see the title of today's message, which is Holy Spirit, which is what we're going to be talking about today. All the scripture we're going to walk through. Also, a place for you to take notes and a place for you to connect with us throughout the week if there's any way that we can serve you or specifically pray for you. So, I don't know about you. Let's dive in. Let's get to Acts, but I'm going to set it up. You don't have to get there. I'm going to be in Ephesians real quick because we've been hanging out in Ephesians 6. Remember, we talked about this last week. We've talked about it every week. We're going to be talking about it more next week. That's a teaser until we get to the end when I tell you what our first question we're going to answer and you ask for it is. But remember, Paul says, finally, remember that your battle isn't against flesh and blood. We're not battling with each other. We're battling against something else, another realm. We're battling against our own flesh and sinful desires, our own sinful desires and the schemes of the devil. And so he says, because you know that, put on the full armor of God. Then he tells you to pray. Well, the last piece of the armor of God is what we're going to talk about today. And it's Ephesians 6:17, and it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, how many of us grew up talking about the Holy Spirit a lot in church? Some did, some didn't. As a matter of fact, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I feel like we're on two extremes, aren't we? There's one extreme that says, hey, the Holy Spirit doesn't move like it did back when Jesus was here. Back in the Acts church, those times are dead. Miracles don't really happen the way that they used to, so we just don't talk about it much. And I want to tell you today, how many of us are breathing right now? That would be everyone. Did you know that if you're taking a breath, it's a miracle? Did you know the chance of you actually taking your first breath would be the chance of you throwing a used tire? Don't do this, so I'm not saying pollute. So let's say an inner tube, okay? An inner tube that you go floating with out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and a sea turtle getting right in the center of it and taking a breath of air. That's the chances of you taking your first breath. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So we've already established miracles happen. Then we got the other extreme when it comes to the Holy Spirit that's like, man, people are swinging from chandeliers. They're going crazy in here. They're jumping pews. We had a chandelier earlier, but I broke it. I was going to swing in on that. It just didn't hold up. So like in that, we have that extreme of the Holy Spirit. And so we avoid it. We walk in fear. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit much. But you see, today, that's what I want to dive into as we talk about supernatural, because so many times in our life, we fall in love with the Father, and we fall in love with the Son, but we miss out on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has an important role in our life. The Holy Spirit helps each and every one of us. It's actually the first thing that convicts us of sin and shows us that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. It was the Holy Spirit that awakened our heart to let us know that we needed the Lord. The Holy Spirit shapes and conforms us by sanctifying us and transforming us to be regenerated, to be exactly who we were called to be in Christ Jesus. Now, I know I used some $20 seminary words there, so I'm just going to tell you. Basically, the Holy Spirit is helping us to become the person God created us to be. It's our operating system. It's the thing in us that helps us be and know where to go. We're doing a Bible reading plan together as a church with some folks online, and it described it perfectly this way. It's our GPS. It's our GPS. It's one thing, if you've ever been in a new city, to have a map and see where the streets are, but it's so much more important to have a guide, right? That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's our guide to give us the turn-by-turn navigation to get us exactly where Jesus is calling us to go. So as we see that, I want us to see the power that comes in the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to see in the book of Acts, I want you to know, more than anything else, there are 50-plus references to the Holy Spirit in 28 chapters. So I would say that the Holy Spirit's important when it comes to the book of Acts. So let's look at the Acts, or the works of the Holy Spirit, and how that plays out in our life. So it says this in Acts 1, verse 4 through 8, and I'm going to tell you today, more than anything, I believe in the word of Jesus speaking to all of us, so we're just going to read the red letters today. Because if Jesus is speaking, I'm telling you the Holy Spirit is. So let's look. Acts 1, verse 4 through 8 says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, that is Jesus, he gave them this command. He talked to the disciples. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. Time out. If Jesus says there's a gift he wants to give us, I'm pretty sure we want to open it, don't we? Like, if there's anybody who wants to give us a gift, I'm pretty sure if Jesus wants to give it to us, it's something that we should want to open. He says, wait until the gift my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or date the Father has set by his own authority. But look at this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What Jesus is telling them right now is, hey, I made you and created you. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you so that you can do something. You can do a work. And you can't do the work until the Holy Spirit has fallen upon you. Until you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, you open it and you walk in full surrender to it. So what I would move to say today, and I would move to argue today, is if you're only worshiping the Father and the Son, you're missing out on the fullness of the Spirit. Each and every one of us, when we do that, we miss out. Because see, all of us start at the cross when it comes to Jesus. Him and him crucified, living the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, dying the death we deserve on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin on the cross. And then loving us enough, he goes to the grave, defeats death, hell, Hades, and he goes and he raises again so that we can walk in fullness of life. And when he is glorified, as we're going to read in a moment, that's when we get to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit working inside of us. I want us to see all the way through here, what when I say the gift, when Jesus talks about an offering or a tithe, he says, bring your what? Your first fruits. The Holy Spirit was the first fruit after the resurrection. That is what he left. When he ascended, he gave the disciples and us the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. So if you're taking notes today and we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, let's see how the Holy Spirit works in our life. Number one, if you're taking notes, the work of the Holy Spirit is connected to the work of Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is connected to the work of Christ. So many times we separate them, but they're not separated. They work in communion together. The work of the Holy Spirit is connected to the work of Christ. Now, I told you to get to the Gospel of John. Flip just a few pages left to John 7. You know how I roll. I love the Gospel of John. John 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. On the last and greatest day of the festival, that is the Feast of Tabernacles, we've talked about that before and how that is important, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." How crazy awesome is that? "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." In the King James Version or New King James Version, it says, "out of their belly." The inside out, from their heart. Remember, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is saying, hey, what'll come out of your mouth if you believe in me will be rivers of life. Not a stream of life, but rivers, plural, overflowing to everyone around you because of the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so for each and every one of us, I want us to see that Jesus didn't just say, be satisfied with a sip of salvation and have fire insurance for eternity. He said, let the Holy Spirit come upon you and go change the world and bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Go be my witnesses to Judea, which was their backyard, Samaria, which was their state, and then go to the ends of the earth and share the hope of the gospel with the world. But you can't do it fully unless the Holy Spirit's inside of you and you surrender to it. He goes on to say this in verse 39. By this he meant the Spirit, is what John writes, whom those believed in him were later to receive. See, up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, you may say, time out here. Are you meaning the Holy Spirit wasn't around? Absolutely, the Holy Spirit was around. We know that. Genesis 1, remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was void and formless, and his Spirit hovered over the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he separated the light and darkness, and he called the light day and the dark night. I'll stop. But the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. Only when Christ was glorified could it dwell in us. The best example, if you ever grew up in church, is Saul and David. Remember Saul? He had the Spirit poured upon him when he was anointed. When he went and Samuel anoints him king, and then he goes crazy when the Spirit leaves him. Like, you know, David's having to play the harp for him to calm him down. And Saul finds out that David is anointed king and he tries to kill him. If you look through all the Psalms, I want you to read what David is talking about constantly. He asks and begs for God's Spirit not to depart from him because he knows God is his salvation. You see, before Christ Jesus, the Spirit was among them that could not dwell in them or us, until Jesus was fully glorified. So I think of us all the way through, and when I say the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of Christ, the Holy Spirit is what bears witness to the world of Christ in us, because in the Holy Spirit, we have the fruit of the Spirit that comes out, and we get to use the gifts which the Holy Spirit gives us so that Jesus can be glorified. I'll put it to you this way. With the Holy Spirit, we can be committed to prayer. We can be committed to gathering together constantly without excuse. We can be committed to walking around and sharing the Word of God by having fellowship and breaking bread together. We can be committed to each other in the Holy Spirit, whether we're in the same room or not. That's what the Acts Church did. And so for us, I would ask us, when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, what does our life look like? Because we choose whether we surrender to the Holy Spirit or not. That prompting we have, we see that person broke down on the side of the road, keep going, I'm late, or stop and help. That's the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit walking in us, what Satan will do many times is once we're in Christ Jesus, he'll try to confuse, distract. We talked about that last week. He'll try to work through us. What'll happen is he'll try to make us ignore the Holy Spirit in us who's helping us to be exactly who he created us to be. So when it comes to our life and it comes to the work of the Spirit in our life or my life, I'm preaching to myself today. Are we living distracted and delayed or devoted and surrendered to the Spirit? Are we distracted and delayed by everything we have to do? Or are we living devoted and surrendered to the Spirit and understand that the God who made time will be the God who multiplies time? The I don't have time for this excuse, we all have 24 hours, the same 24 hours in a day, and I'm just as guilty of using it as anybody else. But if the Spirit called me to do it, obviously what he's calling me to do is more important than what I thought was most important to do that day. So for each and every one of us, let us see that the work of the Spirit, like when I look at this in the end, we can see, remember in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit falls at Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved, right? Like they saw people speaking in tongues. I know that's the scary part. Don't worry, that's not happening right here. We don't have any interpreters today, so we're good. It's not happening right here, right? But in the difference, the Holy Spirit falls. And remember when Peter and John go in front of the Sanhedrin in Acts 4, what do they say about them? Uneducated men. Yet the Spirit still pierced the hearts. See, the Holy Spirit inside of us doesn't have any qualification but for us to be in Christ Jesus. As long as we're willing to live and surrender, he'll take us wherever we need to go to be whoever we were created to be in Christ. So we got to see that the work of the Holy Spirit is connected to the work of Christ. Number two, the work of the Holy Spirit is beyond compare. So now that we know that the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of Christ, we can see the work of the Holy Spirit is beyond compare. You see so many times where I think we get stuck, and I'm just going to be real with you, and it's something that Jesus has been working on me. Here's the thing. We think we've got it figured out, don't we? We think we've got this thing figured out, and we have it all together, and here's how I know. We got to take 17 pictures before we post it. We got to fix our hair 17 times. I mean, when I put on my makeup in the morning, it's rough. I mean, it takes a lot to look this good. Yeah, I mean, you know better. Come on, sweet Lord Jesus. Like, we think we have it all together, but the one thing we have in common is none of us have it together. And our treasure isn't having it together. Our treasure is Christ Jesus in us. And if we will make him our treasure and live in full surrender of the Holy Spirit, my goodness, the immeasurably more he will let us be a part of. But so many times, he's not our treasure. Our treasure is our bank account, our address, our position at work, what we made on the last test in school, what we think this degree on the wall means when absolutely in the end, it's just a piece of paper that's a receipt on the wall. So for each and every one of us, we have to see that the work of the Holy Spirit is beyond compare. It is a gift. It is a treasure. It is something that we should be willing to surrender to. The thing is, we got to open it or else it just sits there. So if we're not going to open it, let me ask you this. At Christmas, leave a gift under the tree and don't open it. I know better. I know better. So why would we do the same to Jesus when he says, open this gift? Look, he says this in John 16. Flip a few pages over to your right now. We're going to work our way back right. We went left. Now we're going to work our way back right. John 16. Look what Jesus says here in John 16, verse 7 through 11. He says this way, written in red, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Imagine that statement to the disciples. He's saying something more important than me is coming. Like, imagine that. So when I think about this and I walk through this, imagine if Jesus started his earthly ministry now. The throngs of people that would crowd and surround him. And he's telling the disciples, you ain't seen nothing yet. But baby, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. But you ain't seen nothing yet. He says, you haven't seen nothing yet. There's something greater that is to come. And imagine that blow to the disciples, because we read in Acts before he left, they thought, man, we're going to have a position. We're going to be the knights at the round table when Jesus raises Israel up. We're going to get to be the cool guys. We're going to make all the decisions. Like, are you going to be Lancelot or not? Like, I don't know who's going to be Lancelot. Who's going to do all these things? Like, are we going to be these guys? They were trying to search for something and the power of something they could see instead of surrendering to the power of the Spirit. And the reason Jesus didn't give it to them until he was glorified is they weren't ready to receive it. But us today in Christ Jesus can. And so we've got to see, he says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come. When he comes, verse 8, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, before we go on, think back to when you confessed Jesus as Lord of your life and believed in your heart that he died and rose again. It was the Holy Spirit that awakened your heart. It wasn't a pastor's message. It wasn't the worship song that was saying. It was the Holy Spirit working inside of you, knocking on the door of your heart, saying, open. It was the Holy Spirit that made you aware you were a sinner in need of a Savior, all of us. And so I want you to see that Jesus is saying, hey, right now people only followed him because of the miracles that he did. And they fled him when he went to the cross. They fled him. But he said something greater is coming, the Holy Spirit that will connect you in the body of Christ, that will make all of you connected together as one. And he says the world won't even recognize it. Why? Verse 9, about sin, because people do not believe in me. Verse 10, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. It's amazing that we can see that Jesus says something greater is coming. If I'm the disciples, I think of John the Baptist. They're probably looking for someone else to come walking along when he says that. Because remember John the Baptist, when Jesus, before he starts his earthly ministry, says, hey, I can't even loose this man's sandal. Like, he is greater than I am. I'm just here to point to him. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm here to point you to the Spirit so it can fall on you. And when you do, the surer work that will happen, the work that will take root in you, will change eternities across the world. Because the cross is just the beginning, and heaven is the destination, but the in-between is how we surrender to the Spirit. And so we've got to see that surrendering to the Spirit is important, because it is beyond compare. So when I looked at this, it made me think about this. Right now in this 2020, where we are, what will set us apart as Christians is our peace, no matter what in the world is going on around us. Our peace, our joy. What's going on around us? But we got to be fully surrendered to the Spirit. And so when I saw this, and we just read it, and as I was writing this, and I was thinking about the Spirit being beyond compare, Jesus said rivers of life will flow through you. Remember that? I'm going to bring you back to youth camp if you remember it. You already know where I'm going. But I got a river of life flowing out of me. You remember that? Makes saints to walk and the blind to see. Makes the lame to walk, excuse me. Opens prisoners' doors, sets the captive free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. I hear it. Somebody knows it. Right? Yes, yeah, somebody knows it. It to my soul. Spring up, oh well. See, they know. You know. So if you know, you know. So what I'm trying is this is what Jesus was trying to say. Not just a funny gimmick, but so many times, you know what, this week, because it has been a little stressful, that song has just been in my mind. That song has been in my heart, and I've been playing it, and I've just been laughing, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me through laughter so many times, because I'm hard-headed. I have to have laughter. I don't know what it is. I'm just hard-headed. It's better to laugh than something crazy happen. And so in all the way through that, I've been going through that, and it made me think, do we have that river of life flowing out of us? Because if he is beyond compare in our life and he is our treasure, we will. Everything we do will point to him, and it will point to life. Because the Holy Spirit will allow us to persevere at all times. Yet so many times we can do this and not even realize the Holy Spirit is working in us. But those around us do. I heard it mentioned this way when it happens. Does the sun announce its rising? Doesn't, does it? Yet it still does. The Holy Spirit working in us doesn't have to announce its work in us. It just works through us as long as we're surrendered to it. And we may not even see it. And so for us, we have to see that the work of the Holy Spirit is beyond compare. Because I will tell you this, if I stood up here and on this screen flashed every sin I've ever committed, you would say, that guy's a pastor. Oh my goodness, I can tell you, I don't stand up here because of anything I've done, but oh, by the grace of God, I get to be here. And what I want to do is live a life fully surrendered to the Spirit and be faithful to the end, so that way when the race is done, I can stand. He can say, well done, good and faithful servant. But the only way that I can do that is if I live fully surrendered to the Spirit, knowing that the work He has called me to is beyond compare. It is better than anything in my bank account. It is better than any address that I live at, better than any job I will ever work, better than anything else this world can offer me, better than any manifesto, political statement, political thing. It is better than anything else in this world. It is beyond compare. And if we live that way, Christians, the world will want what we have. So the question is, are we living a life, and I'm guilty of this as everyone, so I'm just going to be real with you, what Jesus has hit me with. Am I living a life where the world sees me and is attracted to Jesus and wants what I have? Or am I living a life just above the world's standard, just so I can say, well, at least I'm not them? You see, the work of the Spirit is beyond compare. We don't have to worry about that. Number three, if you're taking notes, the work of the Holy Spirit is available to all in Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit. So the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is beyond compare, and the work of the Holy Spirit is available to all who are in Christ. Look at what Peter says. Flip over to the right. We're going to keep going right. You can hang in here with me today, I promise. Acts 2. So 3,000 people have come, and they're asking, how in the world do we be saved? The Spirit has pierced hearts, and they come to Peter, and they ask him. He's clearly presented the gospel, probably for the first time ever in ministry. Have you ever thought about that? Think about that. Jesus sent the disciples out multiple times to go cast out demons and heal the sick. We've talked about this, and they came back, and he said, hey, don't be happy that the demons surrender to you and that the sick are being healed. Be happy and have joy because your name is written in heaven, right? He says, know where your focus is. But have you ever thought about that? Why in the world aren't those sermons they preach there? Because the Spirit wasn't full in them yet. Yet from the Spirit falling on, look at the letters, the sermons, and the messages that we have. Do you think that's by accident? We started there. Carry the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So they asked Peter, how in the world can we have what you have? He says, Peter replied, verse 38, Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us if we will just receive it. Because after we have salvation, the Holy Spirit's in us, we receive it and surrender to walk into it. You see, the reason that's important is the Holy Spirit is what empowers us. It's what makes us be bold. It's what gives us that confidence to go be and take a bold stand in faith and to do what we knew we couldn't do. I can tell you there were times in my life, I can tell you right now that I wouldn't just stop and ask you if I could pray for you. I'd be like, them, Lord? Like, phew. You know, I'm checking, I'm making sure, like, I'm sweaty from loading in. Do they want me to pray with them? Like, are you sure, Jesus? Like, or are you sure, like, somebody would give me, like, $20 and Jesus would be like, hey, I want you to give that $20 to that person. I mean, but Jesus, I barely even got it in my wallet. Like, what do you mean give it to that person? He's like, yeah, it's not in there yet because you got it in your hand. Give it away. Give it away. See, the Holy Spirit empowers us to take what Jesus has given us and share it with others. But the thing is, when it's available to all believers, when we receive it, we will see that we are a conduit, not a reservoir. What I mean by that is, for each and every one of us, we can't give what we don't have. If we don't have the Holy Spirit working in us and we aren't surrendered to it, we can talk about Jesus, we can point to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can move, but we can miss out. And that's not what He wants for us. He didn't die for us to miss out. He didn't die for us to have a sip. He died for us to have overflow, a river of life overflowing through us. Remember what He told the woman at the well? Hey, if you know who you talk to, you wouldn't just want a sip of this water. You would want the living water to flow through you. That's what Jesus gives us through the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that it's available to all of us. So when I was thinking about, when I'm thinking about the overflow, here's what overflows when we overflow with life. We love God and love others. We love God and we love others. God's grace flows through us so supernaturally that we change our neighborhood. What if this, if you're struggling with this overflow, I'll put it this way. How many of us have ever seen a boat stuck on the shore during low tide? Have you ever gone down? It's just tipped over and it's low tide. They judge the tides wrong, or maybe they only go out at high tide. Have you ever seen it? That ship feels that it's hopeless, it's helpless, and that it probably doesn't have a worth. And you say, well, that's an object. And I will tell you, our life is like a ship on the ocean of God's grace. But when that high tide comes in and God's grace overwhelms and overflows to that ship, it glides across God's grace with ease and power. So for each and every one of us, as we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, the question is, are we living in low tide or high tide? Are we overflowing? What if today we overflowed to our neighborhood the grace of God? I wonder how changed our city would. I wonder how changed our nation would be if all Christians today decided, hey, you know what, Lord? I'm going to carry a flood home with me. I ain't going to just be a raindrop, because a raindrop ain't going to do nothing but get it for me. But I'm going to be a flood of your grace to everyone you place in my path. I want to be a flood of your grace to everyone who comes, to every ship that's sitting there feeling hopeless, helpless, and without a Savior. I'm going to be your grace to them, because if they'll just encounter you, Jesus, they'll be exactly who they were created to be. And there would be a high tide that sweeps this nation of God's glory and God's grace and God's mercy, and the Holy Spirit would move like never before. The question is, will we surrender to it? Or do we just keep a sip? You see, if we want to see that, we've got to receive the gift. Because in Christ, it starts at the cross. And if we surrender our life to him, confess him as Lord of our life, and we believe he died and rose again, we're gonna go to heaven. We are sealed with the Spirit. But what happens in between is totally up to us. And I'm telling you, at the end, I wanna stay faithful to the end. I wanna run the race. And there ain't many races you can tell that I'm running, but I wanna run the race. I wanna run the race. And I would love for you and I together to run the race together. Because when we do it together, that tide just keeps sweeping in. And it keeps sweeping in. And the waves and the ocean of God's mercy and grace just keeps coming deeper and deeper inland. And more people can experience him. And so today, I'm going to ask you, if you are in Christ, to carry a flood home with you. And you want to know how to do that? Listen to what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. All of us have a next step. I don't know what your next step is. I can't tell you what your next step is. But I can tell you today, the Holy Spirit's trying to give you that GPS direction in it. He's not trying to, don't worry five steps ahead. Don't worry the seven turns you got to make down the street. Just trust him for the one turn he's calling you to make. The turn away from the thing that is preventing you from being all he created you to be. What is the one thing the Holy Spirit's calling you to do today? For others of us today, maybe we don't have a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit's moving, and I want to tell you how you know the Holy Spirit's moving inside of you. Your heart's beating out of your chest right now. You can't figure out what's going on. And no, I want to tell you, it's not a heart attack that's happening. That is the Holy Spirit knocking at the door of your heart, awakening it to see all of us are messed up. All of us. None of us have it together. The ones that act like they have it the most together are the ones just as jacked up as the rest of us. I want to tell you right now, even though I am in Christ Jesus, I need Jesus just as much today as I did the first time I confessed him as Lord of my life and I believe. And I want you to know today that for each and every one of us, the Spirit is saying the things of this world can never satisfy. It won't ever satisfy. It will go out with the tide, and all of a sudden you'll pray for the tide to sweep back in and it will never come. But in Christ Jesus, you will always be on water, because in Christ Jesus, you will be flooded with his grace. We got to share this on Thursday night, and I want to share it to you if you're not in Christ Jesus right now. And I just want to tell you, maybe this is for you who's in Christ Jesus. In the Holy Spirit is the only safe place that we can drown. in the Holy Spirit is the safest place for us to drown. If I want to drown in anything, it's in God's mercy and grace, not anything else this world can offer, but Him and Him alone. So I want to tell you today, if the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart, I can't compel you to do it. The Holy Spirit is trying to say, wake up. Nothing in this world will fill. If 2020 is showing us anything, it is tearing down everything in this world and showing us that our only hope is in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, what do I have to do to be saved? Just like they talked to Peter, what do I have to do? Well, it's written this way in Romans 10, verse 9 through 13. I want to show you. It says this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never highlight that, underline that, take that home with you, type it in the comments. Never be put to shame if you were in Christ Jesus. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who calls on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, with every head bow and every eye closed right now, we pray as a family out loud together. Right now, the Holy Spirit is moving in hearts. And as He's moving in hearts today, I just want to ask you, as you look at this world, have you ever looked to the cross? We're going to say a prayer right now out loud. It's not the words of the prayer that save you, it's the faith. We are going to declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart He died and rose again on the third day. And that's what we're going to say. We're going to declare by faith that Jesus is who He says He is. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat this out loud after me for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe You came, lived a sinless life I couldn't live. I believe You died the death I deserve on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow You step by step the best I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time that you have prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you and you can say for the first time that you have given your life to Christ, you're going to see a hand that's raised online. If you'll click that. Hey, if you're listening throughout the week, please let us know if you have made this decision. We want to celebrate with you. Please let us know at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. If that's you today, don't let today go by without letting someone know, because you got a family here who wants to celebrate with you. And for the rest of us, you can look up. We're going to continue in this song of worship, and I want to start with what I said. We're going to sing about Jesus turning our graves into gardens. Because only in Him can He take dead things and bring them back to life. And so today, as we get to go out of this place, I'm going to ask you, will you carry a flood with you? He died to give you a sip, but His Spirit in you will let it overflow as a flood. So as we get ready to go into worship, I'm going to ask you to stand and let's sing and lift Jesus' name high.
Yeah. afraid. I'm not afraid. And you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing
into dance and sing that out with me.
You turn morning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn morning to dancing. For ashes, you turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one.
As we wrap up today, I promised at the end that I would tell you what we're going to talk about next week. And so we're going to kick off our You Ask For It series next week, talking about what the church should do with our current racial climate in our country. It's going to be awesome. I want to invite you wherever you are to come through it. I'm going to tell you Jesus is going to be glorified. And I'm going to tell you, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. But the thing that I can't wait for right now is we just sang about how Jesus takes broken things and makes them new, how he takes dead things and brings them back to life, how he takes graves and turns them into gardens. And right now, we may think 2020 is a grave, but he's making it a beautiful garden right now. No matter what we're walking through, I want to let you know, wherever you are, Jesus can change it. Wherever you are. And only he can. Because when he does it, it's forever. And so as we get ready to pray, I'm going to pray that we carry a flood of God's mercy and grace with us, and they would overflow into our neighborhoods today. So let's pray one more time before we go out and have an awesome week. So dear Jesus, thank you again that we get to come into your presence today and we get to lift your name high. We've done nothing to deserve this, Jesus, but it's only by your great grace and mercy that we get to be here. So Jesus, I pray today that we would surrender fully to the Holy Spirit. Where we're lacking, that we would pray to be filled with the Spirit, that we were lacking and we feel like we're not listening to the Spirit but listening to ourselves. I pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts in tune to what the Spirit is calling us to do. And Jesus, when we do that, we would carry floods of your mercy and grace to our neighborhoods. How much different would our world look today if we flooded it with you more than everything else we're getting flooded with? Because you called us as your church to invade the world, not let the world invade us. So Jesus, I pray we would carry the gospel into the world this week. I pray that we would be the light in every person that comes in our path, that we would point them to you, and that in the Spirit, we would do whatever you have called us to do. And so Jesus, I thank you that you have given us this opportunity to do that. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Can't wait to see you next week. We got a chair just for you. The best is still yet to come.